Welcome back to WNST, Tulsa Baltimore, and Baltimore Positive. We're positively into the summertime. All the things that I love, man. Crab cakes, beer, competitive baseball, football training camp, press credentials being rescinded, all these things happening. This guy has been rocking and rolling in a real way. We befriended each other. I guess the way real things happen these days, we met on the internet. He is Mari Brown. He is Bizball Mari. All things being equal, I think I found you because you were trying to get expansion baseball to your beautiful hometown of Portland, Oregon. And we got to talking baseball and rock and roll. He is he plays the rhythm guitar in a AC/DC tribute band called Shoot the Thrill that plays all over the Pacific Northwest and festivals that at some point I must attend because the videos are really good. Mari, welcome back, man. It's always great to talk baseball, rock and roll with you. You've been traveling around, doing games, doing racing stuff. Plug what you're doing because you've really moved into a space here where you're very, very active and working hard. And I always appreciate you making a little time to talk sports media here, but we always meander into some story about Guns N' Roses.
Yeah, man. I mean, it's kind of been a passion thing for me to do the motorsports thing. I kind of grew up at the racetrack. My parents used to take me to SCCA auto racing, you know, as a kid, and then I raced motocross. So it's kind of a logical thing for me to want to try and come back. Access is great.
And there aren't a whole lot of people that covered, or am I wrong? I mean, they're welcoming, unlike the, you know, the National Football League that don't want media around. I would think these are the type of places that, yeah, you want to come out here and you cover baseball and you love what we do. Come on out and cover it. Let's talk about things, you know?
Yeah. I mean, on the motorsports side, I mean, I the first race I covered, I met Roger Penske, the CEO of IndyCar, and a bunch of other topics, like Chip Ganassi, a bunch of other guys. It took me 20 years to interview the commissioner of baseball. So if you're about wanting to do material that's original and you want to do feature pieces, motorsports offers that. I still love baseball. I mean, I'm wearing my Ken Griffey Jr. baseballism hat.
You know,
I'm still working that. I'm working a story right now and laboring through it. So, yeah, man, I mean, the thing about the business side of stuff is for baseball, it really, once the season gets going, I mean, it's in its own cycle. So you're monitoring what's going on. I mean, there was stuff, you know, the international draft not coming together is a good example of stuff that happened, you know, this season, mid-season.
Well, the Orioles went 1-1, right? I mean, when the Orioles go 1-1, it became a story unto itself here on top of them winning again, which is something – dude, you and I have known each other a little while now, right? We're going on a decade. We haven't talked a lot about them winning, right? I mean, literally, we veered conversations into how can they ever win again, and here we are, which is one of the reasons I reached to you, and you're all over my timeline, strumming your guitar up in Anchorage, Alaska, and I want to talk about all that. But the fact that we have relevant baseball here, that's the beginning. It has to start with that. And our guys from your neck of the woods, Adley Rutschman, like, you know, all this stuff, that talked to people in Oregon, Nyer came on and, you know, all that stuff. It's nice. It's fresh. It's new. And I think on the other end of COVID, people need it now, whether they're going to pay for it, support it, come back the way they did with Brooks and Boog and Cakes and all that stuff. I don't know. That's for them to figure out and figure out how to market it. But the first thing is being good. Being good again is fun. It's baseball's fun when you're good.
Yeah, and I mean, the thing about the Orioles, and each club is a little bit different. So this is it's either a commentary on what, you know, conditional losing, like long strings of losing and apathy by fans takes longer in some markets to come together. Like Mariners are seeing big television increases right now. There's a lot going on with them because they're so hungry for winning after, you know, being in a drought since 2001. Orioles may take some time, but I mean, it's a positive. I mean, it is one of those things to where they seem like they finally got some prospects, things are moving in a largely positive direction. And, you know, that's good. I don't like with all the chaos that's going on the ownership side. But at the end of the day, fans pay to see baseball. They don't come to pay to see owners.
But the owners can really F it up. Living proof, right? I mean, everything you cover in the business of sports, when things fail, it's not because Adley Rutschman couldn't hit. It's because the whole thing's a disaster. I mean, this has created chaos for our football owner here, who doesn't want to answer questions about Lamar's contract and money and what happened. But his partner kind of rolled him under the bus out in Cleveland. Poor ownership will get you blown up. Poor leadership will get you blown up, right? Like, and to your point, you mentioned the brothers fighting. I mean, I'm usually the first guy mentioning that because I've been involved in all of this. It's unbelievable that they brought their laundry out in all the dirty secrets that I've always known now are in a court document and they're winning at the same time. They couldn't get more in the news in that way. But then there's this happy ending part of this where we're looking for a parade, and that's where the draft comes in. So back to the original point, which is you start to get focused on things like that when you get back into the time clock of, hey, you mean we got a chance?
Yeah, it does. I mean, all Orioles fans have ever wanted was a chance. And they look like they have a chance right now. They really do. I mean, you know, look, they've got a little bit of a mountain to climb to get through. The expansion of the wild card, adding a team in each league, has been monumental in allowing fans to have some sense of hope and to allow them to be engaged in the season. I mean, if you looked at some of the division races, if you looked at the AL East right now, and it was just a pure division race, as an Orioles fan, you'd go, well, that's it. I'm packing up my bags. I'm out of here. But when you look at the wild card, it does open things up. I mean, you're seeing that with a lot of markets right now. Clubs that would normally not be in the hunt are in there. And that's what's going to make the trade deadline, I think, so interesting. I think you're going to have more buyers than sellers this time around. And that's going to continue. I mean, remember, the owners wanted to add four teams, not two. And the players said, no, let's just do two. But eventually we're going to get to that, whether it's expansion and then we get to it, or whether it comes around with the next labor deal. And that, again, gives hope to clubs that have been on the outside looking in. And the Orioles are clearly one of those teams.
Well, one of the things mathematically, and I'm not that great at math, but they've added teams to the races here. That makes it even more interesting a week like this as to whether you deal Santander, you deal Mancini, or you stay all in, or you're saying, well, we're going to get a bag of baseballs and some Delaware River mud. We're not going to do that. The notion of the heartstrings with Mancini here goes deep through the losing, through his cancer battle, you know, marrying the broadcast, you know, like all the things that went on that fans are engaged in. And, you know, they were engaged with Adam Jones and life went on after that, right? They were engaged with Buck and he's doing a nice job up in Citi Field these days. Mm-hmm. But I would just say for the franchise, this is tricky where they are right now for them. Are we a contender? Do we want to stay in? Do we want fans out here in September? Do we want to play meaningful games in September for the first time? Are we betting on next year or betting on down the line? When what's the Tommy Conwell? I know he's a regional artist. He had a song called "I'm Not Your Man," and the song went like this: "There ain't no tomorrow, baby. There's just right now." You know, and they have a chance right now and to be in this. And I think dealing the other way right now could be a little hurtful to them and to what they're trying to build within their clubhouse, within the community, within their fan base.
Yeah, I would agree. I mean, I think that they have to do something now. I don't know if it has to be substantial. I mean, you don't want to upend the development work that they've done on the prospect side to get them where they are. We saw this with Seattle. I mean, there is it's difficult to go to your fans and go, I know we've told you to be patient for a long time, but continue to be patient. We're almost there.
Well, Seattle's your regional team, right? And they're sort of famously woeful. I mean, I'm speaking to the choir here to some degree, right?
Yeah. I mean, in any of these cases, they have to make a determination of what pieces they would potentially move to, you know, pick up something at the trade deadline. And I think that that's tough. I think the core thing would be, are they really within striking distance to getting into the wild card? And there have been some stretches there where they've been really, really close. So that's going to be the question. And I wouldn't like have fans shouldn't be, you know, I know they're so hungry, but part of me wants to go, look, you can see it coming together and you can see that they're developing and they're in a better position than they have been in, you know, over a decade. So, you know, if they've got to let the plan continue to work out, I say you let them go ahead and do that this time around, as hard as that might be.
Mari Brown is here. He is Bizball Mari out on the interwebs and writing all things of business of sports. Easy to find him and his social media and the fun and the rock and roll. And all right, let's talk a little rock and roll here, man. You're an AC/DC tribute band and you play out. And just give me the science and the math of all of that, that you learned to play the guitar when you were a kid. And you wanted to be Michael Schenker. I don't know what you know what you wanted to be. Probably you wanted to shred. And I get to see these really fun, like sort of fantasy camp videos of thousands of people rocking out to Shoot the Thrill, which is your band. And I, you know, I don't know if you'll ever play out here, but I know I see Yacht Rock Review roll through. There's a band called Kick that I almost went to see that does In Excess thing that the tribute band Get the Lead Out plays. I mean, they're phenomenal. That when you can't see the real thing, this is where it's at. And you guys do a great job. And more than that, you have fun. You have fun doing it. You make a few nickels doing it. But everybody leaves happy, unlike at a sporting event where half the people are always sad at a sporting event.
Yeah, I mean, the math behind it is pretty simple. If anybody goes and looks to see what tickets are for Springsteen, they can tell you that it's really cost prohibitive for a lot of people. And I've got a really good promoter, and we kind of co-opt each other. The bands support each other. So there was just a huge event called Hare Fest. It's H-A-R-E Fest, named after a bar out here called the Wild Hare, that's turned into a major regional thing with like 23 tribute bands. And
it's a BFD. Like if you go and see the videos, I don't want to say Woodstock, but it looks like a nice little European festival.
Man. I mean, 6,000 people a day. I mean, that's not bad. That's a great thing. It's a lot of fun. I did not expect to do this, Nestor. I thought I'd be going and playing blues clubs. And I
got to get you in here to play Trifecta with my boy Paul Manna. He's got a tribute day. We have a guy here, Kirk McEwen, who's done 98 Rock for a million years. Dear friend. We both had our feet. You'll appreciate this. I shared the picture. He had his knee cut on 2 weeks ago, so I sent him some love. There's a picture of me and him with our feet on the Hammerjacks wall. The day that they knocked it down, he and I were the co-MCs. So, you know, for a rock and roll legend. But he's got a band, the Tom Petty tribute band, that just kills it. And they're a part of this. And so the tribute band thing is a journey band. My friend Farouk's in a journey. They do a great job. And it's a great Friday night to go out to a club and see your band play, man. It really is.
Yeah, man. I mean, you know, the money is okay. The people seem to enjoy it. I mean, I'm traveling around more than I really kind of expected. I'm going to go do a casino gig in Northern California in November. And, you know, I mean, we just got back from Anchorage, you know, which was great. I just fly up there with my guitar and everything's provided. So, yeah, man, I mean, people enjoy it. I don't try and make it anything more than it is. It's entertainment. It really is. I love
your wig, dude. You got a great Malcolm wig, dude.
Yeah, man. I mean, that's difficult. I wish it was my own hair. It's not, you know, I look at it similar to what you do acting when you do a play or whatever, only we're doing music. And if you can suspend that, you know, sense of disbelief for a little while, you're in it. And have people enjoy themselves. And we continue to bring people in. And until it's broken, I'm going to ride this thing out. I'm getting kind of old for it. You know,
No, you're not. No, you're never too old to rock and roll, man. Come on. AC/DC wrote about that stuff.
So, you know, for decades I played and I didn't make any money. I mean, literally zero. I ate Top Ramen and potatoes and hot dogs so that I could buy gear. And now money all pours back into the gear that I couldn't get back in the day. And so, you know, I got more stuff than I probably need. But again, it's a lot of fun. If I wasn't for my wife supporting me and allowing me to go do this, you know, stupidity, it takes a little bit of time. It eats up my summer. It's not bad in the winter and fall. We'll do a couple of gigs then. It's almost all summer festivals at this point and some casino gigs. But yeah, man, it's a lot of fun. It's something different. And, it, you know, while I am older, it definitely keeps me young.
What is your favorite AC/DC song?
Oh, it's Let There Be Rock. Absolutely.
Okay.
I love everything about that. It's just so high energy. It's got, you know, I think some of Angus's best work. I mean, we can get into, like, you know, the hits and whatnot, but for that one, for a diehard AC/DC guy, that's always my favorite to play, and it's always my favorite to listen to.
Yeah, I listen to some, like, so I love Back in Black, and I love Shoot the Thrill. Mm-hmm. I mean, that song is me and Rob DeBilly shooting basketball out in his backyard with a cassette of Back in Black. By the way, so, you know, I started collecting these crazy belt buckles, and I wound up getting my Holy Grail belt buckle. I almost got the UFO for you, but I got this one the other day, and it's so cool that I have to share it. So I got my Cheap Trick belt buckle. This was the Holy Grail. And then I found this one here, and I gave Kirk some love. This is a Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers in a box. It's kind of like a baseball card in a wrapper. I want to wear it so badly, but they don't come in boxes. You can't find this anywhere. So, like, but I've been collecting these things. There's no AC/DC one because they sort of broke 80, 81. This was more of a 76, 77, 70. You're more likely to get Village People, Bee Gees, Casey and the Sunshine Band mixed in with your Styx, your Kansas, your Van Halen. But it's amazing. AC/DC came a little on the back edge of that here, maybe not in Australia. By the way, it's on my bucket list to go to Melbourne to walk the walk a little bit there with the lads.
Man. You find that UFO belt buckle, man, that would be amazing.
It's a really expensive buckle if you find it the right way. I mean, it's really hard to get. Fans are I think half of Germany's all about it. So the minute it gets online, it gets bid up in euros. It's crazy. But Marty Brandt's here. We're just talking baseball. Sometimes we're talking rock and roll and all that. Give a shout out to live music and shows, because you're not just the guy strumming the guitar. You take your boy out, your wife. I see you at shows. When somebody comes into the Rose Garden, which I will always call it the Rose Garden. I saw Springsteen's playing out there, and, you know, I don't know. Ticket prices are crazy, but I want to go to the Rose Garden and see a show. But you go to shows. You experience life as a fan in addition to your journalism, which has come later in your life.
Yeah, man. I mean, concerts have always been, you know, a good dose of religion for me. And it's just it's a great bit of mental health every time, just to let loose. And even at my age, I've gone to so many shows, just like you have, right? I mean, if you're a concert going person, you've probably done it your whole life. My hearing has taken a big hit on that. But from a mental health perspective, it's the greatest thing. It's, you know, a lot of people go on vacations and stuff. I go to shows, you know, so COVID really took a big chunk out of that. And it largely, you know, I mean, besides being cooped up in the house, I mean, it affected me. Not having live music in my life really did affect me mentally. And now I'm getting to go. I mean, it's still, you know, COVID hasn't gone away.
But it is bigger and better to some degree. Like, when you go out now, I appreciate it. I'm going to see ZZ Top tonight for my mom's birthday, and I'm going to appreciate it, you know? And, you know, so, and having the chance one more time to see Paul McCartney, as people have done here. I've seen the Eagles a couple times. I've seen Pearl Jam. I'm going to see Pearl Jam more later in the summer as well. Seeing the Stones one more time. I mean, I realize 10 years from now, when I get to be your age, I'm making that up. I know some of these bands won't be here, and I just held up this Tom Petty belt, and, you know, I'm glad I went and saw Tom Petty at the end when I did, and I got motivated about it. And I feel that way about Springsteen next year, even though the ticket prices are crazy. There is something about it that's no offense to your childhood with baseball in the Bay Area, or me with the Orioles or the Colts or even the Ravens or whatever. There's something about rock and roll that really fills me in a way. And I know we've talked about that I'm glad I have it in my life. I'm glad I have those Rush concerts in my life and that music in my life.
Yeah, man. I mean, it's a thread that runs through since high school for me. So you mentioned some of it, though. Some of these artists are not going to be around for much longer. And guitar-based music, which you and I kind of grew up on, is the thing we kind of like. There's good new music out there, or good relatively new music out there from artists that, you know, aren't as big. I mean, Foo Fighters, I think, will probably be the last big rock stars in that. And that's a sad commentary. I mean, there are bands like Rival Sons that I think could maybe, you know, pack it out. I don't know if they'll ever reach that pinnacle, because I think that it's changed a lot around guitar music. But I'm excited. I'm going to go see Clutch and Helmet and Quicksand, which is like my big, you know, 90s alt metal thing. And I'm excited about that, whether it's big, you know, artists anymore, or even, you know, mid-sized venue artists, it doesn't matter. I'm taking my kid on his 21st birthday to go see Nine Inch Nails. You know, I saw him in a
Rangers out running around too, right? I mean, Morello's out doing his thing this summer.
Yeah. I mean, So, you know, I just look at it this way. There are some artists that I went, I can't make it for whatever reason. And then you don't get to see them again. And I just decided at a certain point, and Randy Rhoads with Ozzy Osbourne, I think, was the big one, where and Stevie Ray Vaughan. And I went, I'm never going to miss a show if I can help it from now on. Because you never know what's going to happen in life. It's a good commentary on introspection with individuals to go and enjoy life. You know, don't be reckless, but, you know, you can go. I'm older now. I don't, like, get hammered and like, hey, I got to stumble home. But it's good to still go do that. And it's a thread my kid and I share. You know, he got involved in guitar and he plays music. His style is way heavy. I influenced him. Now he influences me. And beautiful. So that's the beautiful thing about music. I love that about it. It's, you know, generational.
I love seeing people share their music. A friend of mine had pictures of him and his kids seeing Elton John up at MetLife Stadium the other night singing along. His kids are, you know, school-age kids. I mean, they're 10, 12, 14 years old loving the music. Mari Brown loves the music. He plays the music, including the sounds of baseball and the summer of baseball. He is Bizball Mari everywhere on social media. You can find him there in various writings, often a great guest of sports radio and conversation in various places to hear his insights that aren't necessarily where I take you. I always take you to ACDC and to rock and roll, and we meander back to baseball. Hey, I hope that for the next 5 years, that every time we get together, we are forced to talk about Orioles baseball in some relevant way. That's a good wish. So every time I reach to you, remember the next time you're on, the Orioles need to be more relevant. And if we're measuring our relationship in that way, we'll have a really good time when Springsteen hits Portland and I come out next year.
I like that. Let's make that a plan.
You got it, man. Mari Brown, Bizball Mari, my dude, sitting in the stack of amps in front of him so that he could recreate the best sounds of Hell's Bells. And for those about to rock, I salute you. I am Nestor. We are WNST, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore. We never stop talking rock and roll and a little bit of Baltimore positive.